Today's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Hello everyone, let's pray together as we open up God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to reflect on it. And I pray that you would come now by your Spirit, help me and help us all. Lord, we want to not just hear your word, but apply it into our lives. And so come, light of the world, shine on us and through us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is something, I believe, desperately wrong with our world and with our nation and our city, and even it is in your street. You know, I want to see a revolution in Brighton and Hove and all around. I believe many do. I think that too often the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. You know, it isn't right. It isn't right that landlords should be charging crazy rent for tiny rooms in our city. It isn't right that people should be trapped in abusive work situations or in living situations or relationships. You know, many of us are aware that there is a mental health tsunami in our nation and our city. It's been highlighted again even this week in the news, particularly amongst students. Many of us know friends, loved ones, family members who are suffering in some way. You know, there are too many hungry in our city, as we were hearing, too many isolated and alone. And this year, we got to know someone who lives not far from us in a tiny room. We noticed during lockdown that they were very isolated, and discovered that the room that they had a leaky roof that the landlord couldn't even be bothered to fix. You know, this isn't right. And even though there are amazing resources online for people to be able to learn and do all kinds of positive things, we also have got to recognize that for many in our city and in our nation, that as they spend time online during lockdown, that there are multi-billion pound industries trying to trap them into gambling, pornography, and drugs, trying to get people enslaved and addicted. You know, there is so much darkness in our world, in our city, and there is such a huge need for light. Don't you want to see something change in our city and in this darkness? I know I do, but I know it's easy too to feel so powerless. You know, how can we make a difference in this city that God has placed us in? Well, this speech that Jesus made in our passage in Matthew 5 is part of a much bigger speech known as the Sermon on the Mount. It was something that was amazing in Jesus' time. It started a revolution unlike any other, not a revolution where people would take up arms or violence or force, but it was something where a countercultural movement was founded that continues to spread and impact lives all around the world, even 2,000 years later. And it is so, so powerful when you see it. I noticed it even this week on the BBC as I watched a program on catch up on iPlayer about Simon Reeve in Cornwall. Simon Reeve was looking at some of the beautiful places in Cornwall, but he was also exposing some of the huge challenges and injustices. And as he drove around Cornwall and visited various places, it could have been like he was driving around the streets of Brighton and Hove. He kept saying, "This isn't right. It isn't right that there are such ridiculously high house prices and so few, so many as well who were in need of homes. It isn't right that there were kind of jobs that were just there on the cheap, but no real kind of opportunities for careers and places where people could find security and develop in their roles. It isn't right that there was such great wealth and yet areas of such great deprivation. And he visited one place inland in Cornwall, and he visited a food bank there that serves 14,000 meals a day. This is Don Gardner, who was running that food bank. Don had just recently, before the filming of the program, and I would recommend you watch it, he had recently lost his wife, Jen. But he came on the program and he said his wife, Jen, would have wanted me to tell people of the hurt and deprivation. He wanted to be seen, did Don. He wanted the work to be seen. And there was something about this guy that shone. It really shone. It was so obvious to Simon Reeve, and he was really touched by meeting this guy. It was so obvious to us, the viewers. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this guy's a Christian. And then he said this: every morning I wake up and I say in my prayers, please, Lord, help me to make a difference to someone today. He said it on live TV on the BBC News. Every morning I wake up and pray, Lord, please help me make a difference to someone today. You know, that is a great prayer. That is the kind of prayer that flows out of the passage that we have had read for us this morning, where Jesus says, let your light shine before men. So I want to ask this morning a couple of things. And this is the first thing I want to ask. Can anyone see you? Can anyone see you? You know, Jesus is clear. He says, let your light shine. Don't hide it. It reminds me of a song I used to sing when I was younger. It's kind of old chorus. It says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And in this bit of the Sermon on the Mount that we've had read for us and the verses just before it, Jesus talks about some really conspicuous things, some things that are kind of really easy to spot. In fact, they're very difficult to hide. He talks about a city on a hill. And then he goes on and talks about a light on a stand. And I want to ask you, as you think about the lights in your house, and maybe kids, you could find, help me out here. I want you to go and turn on a light switch and just notice, where does the light come on? Turn on a light switch somewhere near you. Go for it, kids. And just see, where are the lights in your house? And you probably notice that as you turn on the light switch, the kind of lights are up high, like these fairy lights, or right at the center of the room, right in the middle on the ceiling. You know, why do we put our lights in the middle of the ceiling or high up on a lampstand? Well, it's because we want them to be in places where they can get the most light to most of the room. In fact, Jesus, as he was sharing this, he said this is a bit of an old translation. He said, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a bushel. Don't hide your lamp under a bushel. That's an old translation, but I wonder if you know what a bushel is. I realized that all these years I've known that and never really quite known what a bushel is. A bushel is like a bucket or a container or a bowl. And Jesus is saying, look, don't put your light under a bushel, because if you do, it will be useless. In fact, it will go out. It will be extinguished. It won't be useful to bring light to anyone. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He wrote at the time when there was great darkness in Nazi Germany, and he wrote in a great book called Cost of Discipleship, he said this: the flight into the invisible is a denial of the call of Christ. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. So why, if Jesus so clearly told us to let our light shine, why do we sometimes hide it? Well, we hide it for all kinds of different reasons. One of the reasons we hide the light under a bushel is that there's something about light which is distinctive. There's something about light which should be distinctive to the darkness around it. It should be noticeable. But that distinctiveness can be uncomfortable at times. It can attract all kinds of attention. And the whole Sermon on the Mount is built on this assumption that those who follow Jesus will have distinctive different lives from those around them. John Stott, a great Christian writer, says this. He says, probably one of the greatest tragedies of the church throughout its long and checkered history has been its constant tendency to conform to the prevailing culture instead of developing a Christian counterculture. And he goes on and says this, you and you only are the world's light, and therefore you simply must not fail the world you were called to serve. You must be what you are. You are light, and so you must let your light shine and not conceal it in any way, whether by sin or by compromise or by laziness or fear. It's a really powerful and challenging quote. You know, is there an issue of laziness or sin or fear in your life at the moment? You know, are you hiding your light, and have you been concealing it for any reason, and maybe trying to justify it to yourself? Well, if you're covering up the light, I want to say, uncover it. Uncover the light. Let it shine. I love the Message translation of our verse today. It says this. It says, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. You know, one of the reasons I love this translation is it kind of helps bring out in our verse this little phrase. It says, let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others. There's something of our lives that should be visible before others. And this is a kind of key time for us to really think about that, because the reality of COVID and of this pandemic and of times of lockdown and the different tiers that we're in, it is that they tend to make us kind of be shut in, not visible to those around us. And so we need to think creatively about how our lives can be visible, how we can do some of those things that Mike was talking about. We can pick up a phone or send a message, or how we can kind of get in touch with people, maybe to arrange and be intentional about meeting up and having times together with people outside in sort of COVID secure ways. You know, how we can be intentional in our use of social media. You know, this week as a church, we are having a week of prayer and outreach from the 14th to the 20th. There are loads of communities doing different prayer walks, beacons of light walks, where as we go around, we're going to be praying for our neighborhoods. But also many of those walks are going to be following kind of the windows of light kind of trails, and going and seeing some of those windows of light, a great thing that you can then talk about to people who you might meet during the week. Others of those communities are going to be doing carol singing. And I was just thinking about, even with some of the patchy weather this week, still planning to go singing, because, you know, if the rain is coming down and it's dark, how better to kind of lift and light people than just singing a few carols. And the government has said we're still allowed to do that, even in though it's going to have to be done in kind of socially distanced way. But yet it will be a wonderful opportunity. I know our local pub is really excited about us coming and singing outside of there. You know, one of the things at this time is we've got to think creatively about how we can be visible to others. But also at this time, it can be overwhelming. There are so many needs, and so often those needs feel so great. And that can be another reason we kind of try to hide. Sometimes we can feel like we don't have any more capacity, any more time to give. And the reality is that even in our weakness and our struggles, our lives, if they're visible, can have actually a huge impact on others. And we're going to come back more to this later in the talk. But I would encourage you, whatever you're facing, even at times when you're feeling like you're struggling, to let your life be visible. And if you're new in a situation, particularly make every effort to let people know you're a Christian. I always try to do that early on. You know, then what will happen is people will be watching. They will be watching. What does this person who claims to be a Christian live like? And that leads to the second question I want to explore this morning. Not just can they see you and I, But what do they see in you and I when they see our lives? What do they see in us? That is the second part of what Jesus goes on in this verse to say. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds. You know, people will look at things in the world that are visible. And if you and I are visible, they will look at our lives and they will notice the good and the bad. And of course, that is why sometimes we do hide, because we're aware of the bad things in our lives. And so often we want to try and hide those things. And I want to just give a little aside here. I have found in my life at times when I'm tempted to hide things, those are the times that it's most important that I bring them to light, particularly with maybe just one or two trusted Christian friends. You know, Jesus clearly assumed and anticipates that those who follow him, when people see their lives, there will be good things to see in their lives. You know, this phrase, good deeds, seems to kind of sum up everything that a Christian says and does because he is a Christian. You know, there is something in this little phrase, your deeds, which has both a personal you and your to it, but also a kind of corporate sense. It's not one or other, it's both. And there are times when we can helpfully coordinate and plan things together, like those wonderful cap hampers ready to be delivered out this week, going to those in debt in our city who the amazing Cap Center have been journeying with and helping over recent months. You know, I think of the recent gift day for our city, where such an amazing amount, over £50,000, was given to help bring light to our city, to help some of those projects that Steve and Ella were talking about, like the feeding of the homeless on Monday lunchtimes, or the work of an amazing charity called Off the Fence that we've been partnering with for many years in our city. And in fact, because of people's amazing generosity at the gift day, we were able to give even more to them than we were expecting to. You know, I know Paul Young quite well, as many do in the church, who leads Off the Fence, that charity reaching out to the homeless in our city. And I remember him saying a number of times how he's been impacted, how just even a little can make a difference in people's lives. You know, he said that he's seen men in our city cry when they're given a new pair of socks. He's seen the huge impact it can have of just giving someone a toothbrush when for months they haven't been able to brush their teeth. You know, even as a family, we've seen the difference that even just offering a cup of tea can make to someone who has been isolated for many months. And I think of one time when my wife just put a note through someone's letterbox and just said, do you want to come and join us in our courtyard for a cup of tea? And they were so, so thankful. You know, even a little can make a big difference. As we're thinking of light, and as we were watching that video of Mike's, you know, light is the amazing thing in our world that was the first thing created, and maybe one of the most useful. It brings not just light to others, but guidance and warmth, as Mike was sharing. It can cheer people up, and it is so beautiful when you see it in action, like what we saw Don Gardiner doing there in Cornwall with that food bank, or like another little news feed that was recently on the BBC News about two vicars in Burnley. Maybe you saw this news feed. It was these vicars who amazingly were helping people who were hungry. The title of the BBC News said, you know, children ripping open Christmas food bags that were brought by those in need. One lady said that I would be dead without them. I'd be dead without them. It was such a moving video. It was a kind of outworking of Matthew 5:16. And, you know, one of those vicars, I think we had that picture there on the screen, Mike, you know, he hugged and supported this lady whose daughter had just taken her own life. And as he hugged her, he prayed for her in Jesus' name. And as he spoke afterwards to the camera, he said, you have to try and find words to help. And that can be hard. You think, what words do we have for people and situations where there is such brokenness? You know, and this kind of helps us see, you know, as we show light to people, it's so often not just that they need small things, they need massive things. And the challenge can be that they don't just need it once, but they need it week after week and month after month and sometimes year after year. So where does this light come from so that, you know, we can keep bringing light? It can't just be from ourselves, because otherwise we would burn out, as sometimes can happen when we think it is all about us. But, you know, the words that people need aren't just our words. They need God's words. And the light that people need isn't our light. It is the light of Christ, the one who was the light of the world most supremely above everyone else. Jesus Christ said he is the light of the world. And then he told his followers that we are the light of the world. You see, Jesus Christ supremely, through his life, through his feeding of the hungry and setting captives free, through him living out this message of the Sermon on the Mount with its beatitudes, these kind of beautiful qualities that are so costly and hard, through his life that was poured out for others, but also through his death where he died on the cross, as he cried out even to those who were persecuting, Father, forgive them, they do not know what they're doing. As he was a peacemaker, not just between man and other man, but between you and I and God. As he was merciful to us by dying in my place and yours. Jesus, the light of the world, shone like no other. And as he shone through his death, he didn't just stay dead, but he rose again. And resurrection light is what now shines through his life and our lives as we pick up our cross and follow him, as we pour out our lives for others. Even in our brokenness, his light shines. Because that is the good news of Christmas, that one has come to help and save us. So can people see your life? And when they look at your life, what do they see? Do they see Christ? Do they see a life poured out for others? Do they see his resurrection light shining through? And you know, as we think this morning about who we can then become more visible to, who we can reach out to even this week, who we can let our light shine before, I want us to just, as we think in conclusion, to just ask this question, you know, what does it make others do when they see our lives? Because this verse ends with this amazing phrase saying that as they see our good deeds, it says this, and they then glorify your Father in heaven. They praise God. You see, some people are all about being visible or trying to be seen, and even be seen for doing good, so that others will praise them, so that they will get the glory and the credit. But that is not what we are about. You know, the light that shines in us and through us shines in earthen vessels, as the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4. We're like clay pots, and it's so often through the cracks and our brokenness that the light shines most powerfully. You know, that Burnley vicar in the BBC interview on BBC News just a few weeks back, he started by saying this on the interview. He said this, I am a broken, recovering drug addict and that got a second chance. I love the poor because I am poor. You know, that in some way is all of our story. All of us are broken in one way or another, all poor, all needy, spiritually and in other ways too. And until God shows his grace to us, we aren't able to really help others in some significant way that is able to let the light shine through us. But as God shows us grace, as his light shines on us, then we are able to shine that light on others, not in a way that makes them feel like, oh, I could never be like that, but in a way which says, look, we, in a similar way, needed God's light. And only by God's grace and power can our lives shine at all. So to him be all the praise and the glory. So who can you bring light to this week? You know, I want to pray a similar prayer that Don Gardner prayed in that Simon Reeve documentary in Cornwall. I want to pray that we would be able to help someone today, that we'd be able to bring something of Christ's light and goodness. And that then, as we praise God, even just after this, that we would have the joy in these coming weeks and months of seeing others join us in praising God. So let's bow our heads. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. It's up here on the screen. I would love you to pray it with me. It's a very simple prayer, thanking God for his light and praying that his light would then shine through us. Let's pray together. Why not join me and even speak this out loud with even those who are watching this with me? Lord, thank you for your light, for your cross and resurrection. I receive your light today and pray that my life might shine to others. Lord, help me to make a difference to someone today. Amen.